Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Critical Care Revision Aid Podcast, Episode 9, Acute Pancreatitis. What are the diagnostic features of acute pancreatitis?
Acute pancreatitis is diagnosed according to the revised Atlanta criteria. Diagnosis requires two or more of abdominal pain consistent with pancreatitis, an increase in amylase or lipase to greater than 3 times the upper limit of normal, and imaging evidence of acute pancreatitis. The pain associated with pancreatitis is acute, severe epigastric pain, often radiating to the back.
How can we define its severity?
The revised Atlanta classification defines 3 levels of severity. In mild acute pancreatitis, there are no local complications or organ failure. In moderate, there is transient organ failure or local complications, and severe pancreatitis is defined by the presence of organ failure persisting for greater than 48 hours. There are a number of pancreatitis-specific scoring systems which aim to identify patients at risk of complications. These include the Glasgow score, Ranson's criteria, and the CT severity score, which includes the Balthasar grade.
Tell me about the causes of acute pancreatitis.
Together, gallstones and alcohol account for more than 2/3 of cases. The less common causes can be otherwise categorised into obstructive, infective, toxic, traumatic, and other. Obstructive causes, other than gallstones, include cystic fibrosis, neoplasm, and post-ERCP. Infective causes are most commonly viral, including HIV, CMV, EBV, and mumps. Examples of toxic causes include drugs such as azathioprine, steroids, and diuretics, hypercalcemia, and hypertriglyceridemia. Trauma can be blunt, penetrating, or surgical. Other rare causes include vasculitides, autoimmune causes such as sclerosing cholangitis, and genetic causes like alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency.
What local complications can occur?
Local complications include pancreatic necrosis or a pseudocyst. Vascular complications include thromboses of the splenic, superior mesenteric or portal veins, pseudoaneurysms, for example of the splenic or gastroduodenal arteries, and acute hemorrhage. Ileus and abdominal compartment syndrome are some regional complications.
How would we manage a patient with pancreatitis in critical care?
The management of acute severe pancreatitis is primarily supportive. It should be managed with an ABCDE approach. The components of initial management are resuscitation, analgesia, and supplemental oxygen if required. These patients are often intravascularly volume deplete at presentation. This is due to a combination of factors, including decreased oral intake, capillary leak, insensible losses, and possibly vomiting. They require fluid resuscitation. Too much fluid, however, is also likely to be harmful, including increased risk of abdominal compartment syndrome and pulmonary complications. There's an absence of specific good quality evidence re fluid management in pancreatitis, and practice from sepsis is often extrapolated. Balanced crystalloid should be used, aiming for a target urine output of greater than or equal to 0.5 mL per kilo per hour. Lactate should be monitored and fluid status clinically reassessed regularly. Where there is hypotension, vasopressors may also be required. Electrolytes should be checked and replaced. Pancreatitis is a painful condition and analgesia can be challenging. Parenteral analgesics such as opioids and paracetamol should be used initially while we assess whether the patient is absorbing via the enteral route. Some may require a PCA. Severe pancreatitis is, by definition, associated with organ failure. Supplemental oxygen should be administered where there is hypoxemia. Patients may develop respiratory failure and ARDS. Nephrotoxic agents should be avoided. Renal replacement therapy may be required. General supportive ICU care is important, such as thromboprophylaxis, VAT bundles, and physiotherapy.
What about nutrition?
Gut rest is no longer advocated and these patients should be fed. The enteral route is first choice in order to help maintain the gut mucosal barrier and reduce the risk of bacterial translocation. NG feeding should be tried first. If this is not tolerated due to delayed gastric emptying, then NG feeding should be attempted next. Parenteral nutrition is used when patients are unable to tolerate the enteral route. NG feeding should be tried first. If this is not tolerated due to delayed gastric emptying, then NJ feeding should be attempted next. Parenteral nutrition is used when patients are unable to tolerate the enteral route.
And antibiotics?
Pancreatitis is a sterile inflammatory process. While infection may develop in pancreatic necrosis, there is a lack of evidence for benefit of prophylactic antimicrobials and their routine use is not recommended. Antibiotics should be reserved for proven or suspected infection.
Lastly, what is the role of surgery in acute pancreatitis?
Patients with gallstone pancreatitis will require definitive management to prevent recurrent episodes. Timing of cholecystectomy depends on the severity of pancreatitis. In mild pancreatitis, it is recommended that cholecystectomy is performed in the same admission, whereas in severe pancreatitis, months of recovery may be required prior to surgery. Patients with ductal stones and concomitant cholangitis will require ERCP for source control. For infected necrosis, intervention in the first 2 weeks is associated with a very high mortality. If required, intervention should be delayed until 3 to 5 weeks when necrosis has walled off. Options include percutaneous or endoscopic drainage, minimally invasive necrosectomy, or open necrosectomy, with the least invasive method being preferable. Most pseudocysts resolve spontaneously. Percutaneous, endoscopic, or surgical drainage may be required for large symptomatic pseudocysts. IR embolisation may be required for pseudoaneurysms.